Hello and welcome to Quilt Attributes Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we've been exploring for you here at Quilt Attributes. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you are listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Jack Bishop, investment manager based out of our Manchester office. And this week, I'm pleased to be joined by Richard Carter, our head of fixed interest research. So firstly, a happy new year to all of our listeners and a happy new year to you, Richard. If we just start maybe with a quick recap of 2024, the kind of highlights. So another strong year for global equities. US, again, the standout performer there. So the S&P 500 finished up over 20%. And that's for the second year in a row, largely as a result of the performance of the Magnificent Seven, which collectively in local currency terms returned at almost 70% last year. And although we had central banks beginning to cut interest rates, the rate at which those rates were brought down was probably a lot lower than the market expected, which meant that bonds did struggle last year. The dollar strengthened against most major currencies, and with continued central bank buying and rising tensions in the Middle East, gold prices posted their strongest annual return since 2010. So, Richard, start of a new year, your thoughts on bond performance last year, what went wrong, what went well, and why? And I know predicting how things will pan out is probably a fool's errand, but I'm going to ask you anyway, what's the backdrop going into this year? How do you see things panning out? And I promise not to hold it against you.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. I think one word, Trump, basically, it makes predicting things and where sort of markets are going to be in 12 months' time very difficult. We don't exactly know what the, you know, how extreme his policies are going to be and what the impact of those will be on things like, you know, the Fed and the Bank of England and all the rest of it. So there is a huge amount of uncertainty, although I think, you know, yields at the moment are, I must say, on a historic basis, pretty attractive. So if there's any sort of hiccup to growth or maybe his policies aren't that, you know, as extreme as expected, then they are, bond markets are in a good position to do well. I mean, as you mentioned, last year, not great. It wasn't, you know, awful across the board for bond markets. I mean, you had things like corporate bonds doing pretty well because, you know, as you mentioned, growth held up pretty well. Companies are making good profits. So there were bits of the credit markets actually did great. But you know, the sort of long end government bonds, longer duration government bonds like index linked and gilts did have a tough time. And I think the amount of rate cuts that were expected at the start of the year just weren't delivered. And then now you have this whole concern about what Trump will do, what his policies mean for inflation, and whether, you know, when the market's pricing in 50 basis points of Fed rate cuts, you know, even will they be able to do that if he kind of supercharges the US economy. So as I say, yeah, huge amounts of uncertainty, although I think where yields are, you know, relative to history, there's some room for optimism.
Sticking with kind of bonds and interest rates, we had the last Fed meeting at the end of 2024 where they delivered a further 25 basis points cut, which was probably about the only dovish element to the interest rate decision. Everything else was very much on the hawkish side. So following the rate cut, US stocks were down by about 3%. So Richard, just give us an overview of what happened and maybe the impact that had on bonds as well.
Yeah, it's probably the most hawkish rate cut in a long time. I mean, the market obsesses about this, the so-called dot plot, where the Fed, you know, gives their estimates of where rates will go over the next year or so, and, you know, also obviously unemployment, inflation forecasts. And like you said, they cut rates, but they were pretty hawkish about where rates will go this year. You know, not so long ago, they reckoned it would be 1% cuts in 2025, they scaled that back to just, you know, 0.5%. So that was a bit of a shock, you know, and clearly they've got, you know, one eye on what Trump might do and what he will mean for inflation. And also, let's be honest, the fact that the US economy just keeps on going on, doing great, a bit like US equities really, and that means there's less scope for them to cut interest rates. So, yeah, that was a bit of a nasty year-end surprise, I must say.
An article last week, I think it was, caught my eye in the FT, talked about China's central bank and the changes they intend to make to policy rates. So places like UK, US just have one policy rate, whereas China has a myriad of different interest rates and also tries to give unofficial guidance to banks to how much they could expand their loan books by. So, Richard, what are some of the issues with the way in which the PBOC has implemented policy maybe in the past? And what are some of the challenges they might face in trying to move to a more orthodox monetary policy regime?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right. I mean, there are huge amounts of various different interest rates. We're sort of pretty au fait with what the main rates are in the UK and the US and Europe, but in China, it's very difficult to work out exactly what matters. And as you say, they've had these sort of guidance of how much lending should be done in certain sectors. And the problem is, of course, is that that can lead to distortions. It can lead to to risky and I would say unproductive lending, particularly in the property market, where they're encouraging stuff to be done, but actually maybe it's not the right environment. So, there's some talk they'll move away a little bit from that and simplify things and have it a sort of more market based rates. That's all fine. Of course, at the moment, they're under pressure to try and get the economy out of deflation. They've also got, concern about what possible Trump tariffs might mean for the Chinese economy. So, trying to do this at this juncture could be quite tricky. But we would expect interest rates, whichever measure of interest rates you care to take, will gradually come down in China this year.
Switching back to the US and focusing on politics. So we had the new session of Congress begin last week, and with that comes the election of the House Speaker. Mike Johnson, a massive Trump loyalist who has Trump's backing in the running, basically, to become the Speaker. So listeners will recall Republicans retain the House at November's election, but quite a thin majority. So in order to enact the kind of legislative agenda Trump plans, Republicans really need to be united. So Johnson actually was re-elected on the first ballot. And if we cast our minds back to Kevin McCarthy, who took, I think it was 15 rounds of voting. So really does seem that Trump's ruling with an iron fist. What are your thoughts, Richard, on that?
Well, I guess he is for now. It's easier when you've just had an electoral victory and everything's behind, the wind is behind you and all the rest of it, and people will stick with you because you're popular. Maybe 6 months, 12 months down into your term, things can get a bit more difficult and fractious, and people start to think a bit more freely and independently. It was a good win for Johnson. He's going to be an important figure, like you said. They've got a lot of stuff they want to get done, and often they try and get it done as early as possible, whether it's sort of immigration or tax or whatever it is. So he's going to have an important role to play because, it is a pretty razor thin majority. So Trump won't have it all his own way, but clearly he's off to a pretty good start with this news.
And then just on the US, finally, we had our first insight into the performance of the economy at the end of last week. So the US ISM manufacturing data seemed to reach a 9-month high. So I think it was 49 versus about 42. So still in contraction territory, but quite a big upside surprise. So what's your take on that data release? Anything we can read into?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the story globally and in the US has been, services doing a bit better than manufacturing, but particularly even bigger picture than that, sort of US doing very well relative to the rest of the world, particularly Europe and the UK. And this is just another sort of decent data point. Yes, manufacturing still a little bit in contraction, but it's not as bad as it was, and the rest of the economy seems to be doing pretty well. So that's all great. But obviously for the Fed, the longer the economy remains very strong, the more you've got worries about inflation, the less they can cut interest rates. So it is a bit of a double-edged sword in a way.
Yeah, quite right. So, Richard, thank you for your thoughts. I've made a note of all of your predictions for the year ahead, so I'll be sure to revisit them next year with you. Thank you to all of us, our listeners. And did you enjoy the discussion on the podcast today? We'd love to hear from you, so please review the show now, wherever you're listening, share it on your socials and tag us at Quilt Achieviate. And to make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, you can head over to our website, www.quiltachieviate.com, where you can read the accompanying market overview, as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. And you can also stay up to date with our thoughts on market news, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars on our website or on our social media pages. Finally, as I said, we'd love to hear from our listeners. So if you'd like to ask one of our experts a question for our next podcast, simply ask them via our weekly comments page on our website. And that's it for today. So thank you to Richard for your time and to all of you for listening. See you next week.